Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us to this day an opportunity to gather in your name with your people around your word, and especially at the beginning of another holy week, to meditate and to reflect on how you showed up this week for us. Bless the hearing and sharing of your word as we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. You have some message notes in your worship folder to follow along with. We'll be reflecting on mainly Mark chapter 11. I've also included some other passages we'll get to in our message this morning. I'd like to begin by just asking you a question, perhaps an experience that all of us have had at one point or another, where someone has asked you to go get something, and you look wherever it is, let's just say it's something in the pantry. They say, go get the sugar. And you go into the pantry, and you look, and you look, and you look. And you come back, and you say, where is it? I can't see it. And then maybe you get a response. It's right there. It's right on the second shelf, right in the middle. And you go, and you look, and you look, and you look. And you don't see it. And you come back, and you say, you got to show me. I can't find it. And how did you miss it? Well, because perhaps you were looking for the full bag of sugar that you buy from the store and didn't realize that a portion of that bag had been put in a separate Tupperware container that now contains the sugar. So while it was right in front of your face, you, in your mind, based on your experience of where sugar comes and how it's packaged, couldn't see it. Or perhaps a similar type situation, if someone asks you to go to the pantry and say, bring out the chips for lunch. And you go to the pantry and you grab a bag of chips and then you bring it to the table and go, no, not those chips, the other chips. Because again, there's multiple ideas of what those chips are or which ones fit with the meal that you're having. It's happened to all of us, right? Where we have something that we're looking for, and in our mind, we think we know what we're looking for, but we can't find it, even if sometimes it's right in front of us. And once someone points it out to us, it becomes very obvious. You're right. It's right there. I missed it. Does this not also happen at times in regard to our faith life? And as we consider this question, where is God? Perhaps the answer to this question is based on what your perception of God is and how he should show up in your life. And when your perception isn't met, or in your mind, he doesn't show up how you want him to in a particular situation, you may in that moment or for that season of life say, where is God? I know a lot of times this question is asked when we're in a challenging state of life, when life is rough and things are not going according to our perception very well, and we ask, well, where is God? Or maybe we see a tragedy of some kind in our country or in our world around us, and you say, where is God in that whole thing? So perhaps the question we have to ask first is, what are we looking for? What is our perception of what we should see when we see God? And for this, I want to turn our attention to Palm Sunday account. You may say, well, that's kind of an odd portion of Scripture to look at. But I think if we can put ourselves into that crowd that surrounds Jesus as he rides into Jerusalem, and looking at how they perceived Jesus in his riding into Jerusalem, can draw some parallels to what perhaps they were looking for that later in the week they were willing to put him on a cross. And you go, what in the world just happened here? Because you have this crowd shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. And then just a few days later, potentially a good number of this crowd is saying, crucify him, get rid of him. What happened? I'm not going to reread the whole account. We read it in the gospel lesson, but I do want to highlight especially verse 8 and 9 and 10. Many people spread their cloaks on the road while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, which means save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. So if you're one of those Palm Sunday worshipers, if you're there and you've cut your palm branch or you gave up your cloak and you put it on in front of this donkey on which this person named Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, what is going on in your mind? What are you looking for that you see in Jesus? I'm going to put forward three possibilities that this crowd very likely had some expectation that if they were to answer, where is God, here's what they were hoping to see, here's what they were anticipating. I would guess that a number of this crowd was looking for a great provider, if you're filling in blanks, a great provider. Now, why would people on Palm Sunday be looking for a great provider to ride into Jerusalem? Well, let's kind of trace back in Jesus' ministry. What had Jesus done in many occasions? Just prior to riding into Jerusalem, he had done one of his greater miracles of raising Lazarus from the dead. That's cool, right? If you die, this guy can bring you back to life. He had taken a boy's small lunch and fed a crowd of 5,000 plus people. Go, this is cool. This guy can provide for our physical needs, even if we don't have any of that around us. They saw him heal the sight of the blind, and he made the lame to walk, and he cured people of leprosy, where they didn't have a cure, they didn't have any solution for those ailments. They go, this is great, this guy can provide all our medical solutions. This is the medical insurance we need for everybody, and it comes pretty cheap, too. Jesus can be our great provider. He can take care of everything I need, and perhaps he can even provide for my wants, at least some of them. And so perhaps as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, they were like, this is great because Jesus is coming in and he's going to establish this ability to take care of all of our needs. And what they were seeing in Jesus was a great provider. In Matthew's account, once he gets into Jerusalem, people ask the question, who is this Jesus? And in verse 11 of Matthew 21, the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So you know that people around Jesus, they were looking also for a great prophet. The Old Testament had spoken of one who would come after the likeness of Moses and be a great prophet and speak the word of God, the word of truth, into the hearts of people. And so as they heard Jesus teach, he was a great rabbi. He taught with authority, unlike the teachers of the law and those that had really studied the law of Moses. Jesus had an insight. He had an awareness that these others didn't. And say, this is great. We're going to have the greatest rabbi of all rabbis that will be able to open and teach us the law of Moses and put it into practice. But yet there was also some in the crowd that said, this perhaps isn't the prophet we are looking for because he often challenges the law of Moses. He does work on the Sabbath. He establishes a new covenant, a new law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. But people were looking for a great prophet. And perhaps the greater majority of the crowd was looking for the third thing, a great politician. A great politician. because the rumblings were starting to increase that Jesus was this Messiah. And the common perception of the day was that this Messiah was going to be a political ruler. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of our father David. Because the people of Jesus' day, many of them, were expecting a crusade from the Messiah to come in and kick out the Romans and reestablish the monarchy of Israel, where he could rule on the throne of David forever in a physical environment with a physical kingdom and restore peace and prosperity and the expansion of the kingdom of Israel and the influence of Israel all around the known world. And this would be great because this was God's chosen people. They had the bloodline of Abraham, and they were going to be included in this messianic kingdom. And the people were hailing Jesus as the one who had come to establish this reality. Now, when you look at those three, a great provider, a great prophet, and a great politician, to some degree, Jesus met those. But if that was all they were looking for on Palm Sunday, you can see why their minds quickly turned when people convinced them that this person wasn't the Messiah. This one claims to be the Son of God, but that's a lie, that's a farce. This one challenges the law of Moses instead of being a prophet along the lines of Moses. This one can't even get himself off the cross, let alone will he provide for you. And so when Jesus began to be falsely accused and condemned to death and put up on a cross, if you were one of those Palm Sunday worshipers, would your perception of Jesus remain the same? Or would your hopes have been dashed because what you thought he was going to provide wasn't what was playing out? Now, granted, in that crowd, too, were people who understood to a large degree who Jesus was. And they didn't join those crowds later in the week yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." But they quietly contemplated, who was this Jesus? But I can see if my perception of what I'm looking for on that Palm Sunday was simply a physical provider, was simply a prophet, was simply a great politician to guide the affairs of Israel, how quickly I could be disappointed when those perceptions didn't quite play out in reality. So let me ask you, when we ask the question, where is God, do we sometimes look for very similar things? For God to show up in these ways, in our lives, at a particular time, in a particular way, let's just work through them in our own life, in our own experience. If we are looking for God to show up as just a great provider, which he is, the creator of all things, the whole creation is under his control, right? So in our mind, you say, God, you can give me everything. The earth is yours and everything in it. We trust that. That truth is very real. But then how can we ask, God, where are you? When we perceive we don't have all we want or all we need, or the things that we have are taken away by tragedy, or the health that we think we should have is now gone and we're struggling with an illness. Are those not the times where we go, God, where are you? Because what we're looking for is God to step in and solve every physical issue in the moment that I want him to solve it. And when it's not solved how I want it to be solved, I begin to question, God, are you real? Are you here? And even though we have a good idea of who God is and his love for us in that moment or that season of life, we begin to question, God, I don't know if you're here or not, because I don't see you showing up how I think you should be showing up. Or how about as a great prophet? Jesus' words are great if I agree with them, right? If they speak to me, they give me guidance for my life, but when I start coming across Jesus' words that say something like, love your enemies, you're like, forget it, I'm not loving people who don't love me. You got to be kidding me. Jesus' words are great when I can follow them precisely, but when he cuts in my heart and says, you know what, whoever hates his brother, whoever lusts after a woman is committing adultery, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Come on, Jesus, you don't really mean that, right? We can kind of let our thoughts do what we want, but I mean, I haven't done any of the big sins. You know, I'm following those pretty good. But when the great prophet speaks to our heart and cuts to our heart and our motivation, that's for someone else, right, Jesus? That's not for me. And so in that moment, God, that can't be you. In that moment, we're looking for something different. We want God to show up with the words we want to hear versus the ones he wants us to hear. Or perhaps a great politician. This perhaps is one as many Christians carry a more conservative slant on politics. It's okay, you don't have to be politically conservative always to be a Christian. But sometimes we get this idea, if God would just show up in our politics, if we would just, in essence, if we would have Jesus come riding into the United States as the president, then things would be grand and things would be great and we'd have Christian laws and we'd have Christian leaders and Christian judges. And if we could have just Christian politicians throughout every level of government, then things would be great. And God, I don't know where you are in this country because you're allowing non-Christian people to serve in political realm. And we get frustrated. We go, God, where are you? Because you aren't showing up politically where we think you should be showing up. And we're expecting this grand messianic kingdom called the United States of America. And we want it to be grand and spread and all those things. And I'm not discounting wherever your political persuasion is, but we got to keep those separate. Because then when we see the politics in our country going a certain direction, we go, God, where are you? And I get the scriptures say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. There's blessings when we follow after the ways of the Lord, and our leaders revere God as their leader. I get that. I'm not speaking against that. But I'm just saying, if we're just looking for God to show up in a political way in our policies, and he doesn't, we can begin to ask the question, God, where are you? And we miss it. And we miss how God desires to show up. Here's how I would summarize it. Again, if you're filling in your blanks on the second side of your notes, I miss seeing God when I expect him to show up in a particular way to do a particular thing at a particular time that I determine. I miss seeing God when I expect him to show up in a particular way to do a particular thing at a particular time that I determine. And what has happened? We have begun to define God how we want him to show up. And so, in essence, we are putting God into our box and saying, God, here's the box I want you to show up in my life. And that's wrong. And we're going to miss out where God is showing. It's like going into the pantry and saying, you know what, the sugar should be in this paper container. It shouldn't be in the Tupperware container. That's not how sugar should show up in the pantry. Right? And so we begin to put God in this box that we've defined, and we say, God, here's how I'm okay with you showing up in my life. And when he doesn't show up that way, that's when we begin to answer the question, God, where are you? And as we look at Palm Sunday and reflect on not only Palm Sunday, but we'll briefly just look at the rest of the week that's coming up and just ask, where does God choose to show up? How does God choose to show up? And to allow God to convict our hearts, to repent of putting God in the box that we have contained him in. And ask God's Spirit for forgiveness and strength to say, God, help me to see you for who you are and to allow you to show up how you choose to show up and to experience the blessing of understanding God for who he is and how he's shown up at his time and his way in my life, not me determining how he should show up, when he should show up, and what he should do when he shows up. So what does that look like? We want God to be the great provider. And as our Heavenly Father, he's good and gracious, and he knows how to give us good things. And we can thank him for that. And every time he provides for us in that way, let's give him thanks, not inherently expect more, because that's where we can get into trouble. We give him thanks as our great provider, but we also want to recognize that, first, he shows up in our weakness. God shows up in our weakness. Because sometimes we subtly give God credit, but inside we are taking credit for providing for all of our needs. And sometimes God shows up in a space where he has allowed things to be taken away from us to allow us to rely on him more. And so we must also allow him to show up in our weakness at times where we lack. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Apostle Paul had a struggle that he asked God to take away. And finally, God answers him and says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. You see, God showed the Apostle Paul that his power is in his grace and his love, and knowing that your greatest need is taken care of by the one who rode into Jerusalem to the shouts of Hosanna, but went to the cross and came out of the tomb alive to assure you that your sin was forgiven. And when I know that, that God chooses to show up in my life to provide grace, and if he's provided my biggest need, I can have confidence he will provide what he knows I need, even if it's in the times of weakness. God is there. Secondly, he shows up in his word. All of it, he shows up in his word. That's the gracious goodness of God that he, over the centuries, has used individuals through his Spirit to preserve from Genesis to Revelation the word that he wants us to know and to understand. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a glimpse into the word that he preserved through his son Jesus. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he has made the universe. You see, God chooses to show up through his word. Not our word or our thoughts, but he wants his word to guide our thoughts, to guide our beliefs, all of it, even the challenging points. Just think of, going back to if God encourages us through his son Jesus to love your enemies, just think forward to on the cross a Good Friday. How did Jesus love his enemies? Father, forgive them. He died for them. He showed love to the unlovable. Where is that most evident? Right here. Go look in the mirror when you get home, where it's most evident that God shows up is to love you with his grace, and he communicates that through his word and through his sacraments, the promises of baptism that he makes us his own, and the promises of the Lord's Supper, where he promises the presence of his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, where he comes to you in these special ways to encourage your heart and says, here I am. I'm right here in my word, in the sacraments. To show up, to guide and direct your heart and your life and your faith. He shows up in his word. And finally, he shows up to rule his way. Not to establish a kingdom on this earth. He told Pontius Pilate, John chapter 18, 35 to 37. Pilate challenges him, says, you're a king then. He says, yes, my kingdom is not of this world. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Is it a blessing as God's acknowledged as a leader by our leaders? Yes, that can certainly be a blessing to a community and to a state and to a country. But God didn't come to show up as the great politician of the United States of America. That's not his intent. He didn't come to rule the polity of a particular land or any particular country for that matter. He came to show up and rule in your hearts with the power of his word and his truth of the gospel, which is the good news that Jesus rode into Jerusalem and went to the cross for you. That's his way he chooses to rule. And I'll miss that if I'm just looking for a political leader. I'll miss his rule in our hearts and the rule in the hearts of others, and use the opportunity to share that word of truth so that that truth can rule in another heart, one heart at a time. There's no law a legislator can make that will change hearts. The only thing that will do that is the power of the gospel that's centered on Jesus showing up and riding into Jerusalem, not as a conquering king, but as a humble servant. As we journey this week, I invite you to continue to ask this question, where is God? And instead of putting him in our box and expecting him to show up in a particular way, do a particular thing at a particular time, how I want it, just take a step back and get rid of the box you have defined and ask God's Spirit to show you where God is showing up this week for you, in your heart, to take care of what you exactly need as we journey this Holy Week, to see how he chooses to show up and what he chooses to do and how he chooses to do it, how he determined what is best for you. And you will begin to see God riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a humble servant. You will see God give his body and blood for the forgiveness of all sin. You will see God allow himself to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. You will see God allow himself to be convicted under Pontius Pilate. You will see God hanging on a cross for you. You will see the mystery of God forsaken by God for you and for me. There is one time, that's a unique phrase, where Jesus, as God on the cross, says, God, where are you? Because when we answer that question, God, where are you? And he's nowhere to be found, that is the essence of hell. And you will see your Savior show up and suffer complete separation, where he asked, God, where are you? And there was no answer for you, so that you would never have to experience that. And you will see God show up in all his glory, and we'll get to celebrate it next Sunday, to celebrate the reality that God came alive out of the tomb, victorious over sin, over death, over the devil. Where is God? Exactly where he promised to be. With you, always, taking care of you in his way, guiding you with his word, ruling in your heart with his word of truth. Where is God? Right where he said he would be, with you. Amen. May God's peace that comes from knowing that God is who he said he is and where he said he would be in your hearts through his word of truth give you comfort and encouragement strength and forgiveness as we journey this Holy Week and see him show up in such a glorious way for us and for our salvation. May that guard your hearts now and always. Amen.